Welcome to the Grant Thornton Conferencing Service. Please enter your 7-digit access code, then press pound. Thank you. Please stand by. If you are the chairperson, press the star key now. Your conference will begin when the chairperson arrives. Please wait. You will now be placed into conference.
Hey everyone, this is Rex. How are you?
Hi Rex, this is George. I'm fine. How about you?
George, fantastic.
Hey Rex, this is David.
David, what's happening?
Lunchtime, brother.
Lunchtime. It's late here, guys. It's very late, you know.
It's a late lunch, George.
Very late lunch.
I'm calling here as well.
Colin, how are you?
All right, great, thanks.
Good, I think I heard a couple other beeps. Did anybody else join us? All right, well.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. Good. Getting over the holidays.
Hey guys, it's Yanis. How you guys doing?
There you are.
Hi, Yanis.
So we've got a full house, huh?
Yeah, we're getting there.
Happy New Year.
That's right. Happy New Year, everyone. Hey, look, Colin. I'll just turn it over to you, and you can kick it off as you see fit.
Okay, great. Other people might join. Owen has sent his apologies. He has to go to a funeral. I think you might have seen the message on the list. I thought it might be useful if we just had a quick run round of a couple of things that have happened recently, and also just have a chat about Tom's ideas for the sort of structure in terms of regional versus sectorial groups and so on. I know Tom's no longer our board representative because Dave is now, according to the last board meeting. I did email Dave. I suspect he's they might still be having their board meeting because that was a couple of hours ago. But we'll see what happens. there's just a couple of things in progress or just finished recently. I know Rex, you're involved with this. SB 837. That sounded like it went very well. Is there anything else you can tell us about that?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you. I wish I could take credit for it, but I really wasn't involved very much at all. Dan is a local member of ours. He is involved with NIST on a professional basis, and saw the opportunity to dovetail both his interest in addressing some of what he thought was necessary for comment on 837, and you know, our inclination to comment as well. He saw our last effort on 853, and approached us, reached out to our local people as well as some of the OWASP leadership, and we were able to get some good comments back to NIST, which, as you mentioned, were received very warmly. We're really happy with the outcome of that.
Yeah, Rex, I saw that email back. I'd never heard of Dan Philpott before, but he did a wonderful job. Getting that kind of feedback from NIST saying, hey, this was really good feedback that was on point is wonderful. And for the folks that, I know Rex and I both know this, but for the folks that aren't Americans, 837 is basically the document that provides the whole framework for the entire FISMA process. So it's a very important document, very high level, and it's a great thing that Dan and Rex pulled off here. I'm very proud of you guys for getting that done.
Yeah. Yeah, and just to kind of build on that, Dan, apparently knows Ron Ross, personally. So, and Ron is the basically the head of NIST for our intents and purposes. So, going forward, anytime we have an opportunity to work on some commentary on federal sector, U.S. federal sector guidance, I think Dan is probably a good person for us to tap and reach out to and get involved in these kinds of efforts.
Well, that's really useful to know. I think it sounded like it went very well, but obviously Dan's got a lot of organisation. But as you say, he's sort of quite involved with NIST already, which is obviously useful and is probably a good model to use for other responses in the future. It seems to go very well.
Yep.
All right, Colin, I've got a question. Last time that we did something with NIST, it was the kind of request for comment they put out for a password policy paper they put out, and they, if I recall correctly, we drafted a response and a couple of bullets and stuff, and it went unnoticed, right? Colin, what's changed? How come all of a sudden, they're paying attention? If you guys know or can speculate.
I think, this is David here, I think part of the reason this was a big success was that the password policy or the other minor documents that we may have responded to don't have as much visibility. Like, I know Rex did 853, and to give you Londoners a perspective on this, that is basically talking about security controls, so it's pretty specific, but it's also somewhat detailed. Whereas 837 is basically how the whole puzzle fits together, like how should you manage risk in an agency? So from a FISMA perspective, FISMA is the cybersecurity thing went into effect in like 2002 for the overall information security management of federal agencies. And 837 is the one document that tells the agencies how everything else is going to happen. So it doesn't get any more important or any more highly visible than that. So I think Dan's connection with this Ron Ross guy is probably the driver, combined with whoever the contributors were that gave good feedback. Getting a connection there that's highly placed at NIST is probably the main difference, combined with the fact that this document is really, really important, more so than any other one that we could probably pick to comment on.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think the personal relationship there is pretty key, and we'll definitely want to play off of that as much as possible going forward.
Okay, probably. Good to know.
Colin again. Something that Sebastian Sieber has been trying to get going is start to put together a testimonial page. And I was just wondering whether it might be worth speaking to Dan and seeing whether he might be able to get some sort of comment from NIST, even if it's just about this one particular contribution. Do you think that might be a suitable approach?
I'm sorry, Colin, can you run that by me one more time?
Yeah, we'll put together a testimonials page, so actually quotations from some important people. And we're trying to get a small number before we mention it more widely. It's Sebastian's sort of idea, really. And I was wondering whether we might be able to get one, ask this chap at NIST, or approach Dan or him, whether it's possible.
That's a fantastic idea. I am happy to ask Dan to see if he can extract one from our NIST friend, and then I will also ask our point of contact at Department of Homeland Security, our keynote speaker at AppSec PC, and see if he can provide as well. Within the U.S., at least, those two individuals would certainly carry some weight.
Okay, I'll forward you just a couple of descriptions already in the draft page after this meeting.
Perfect.
Okay.
Do we have somebody else, George?
Yeah.
No, sorry, I kind of got kicked out. This is George again. Sorry.
George, you got to take a hint, man. We're trying to kick you out.
George, why don't you just stay off the line, man? I don't get it.
It's already that late, guys. Sorry.
Okay, something else that came up recently is when Dennis was at the conference in Madrid in early December, he spoke to some of the people from ENISA, which is the European Network and Information Security Agency. It's all part of the European Union. A couple of things they've done recently. One was a policy document on Web 2 security and privacy, and more recently a document on cloud computing risks. And Dennis wanted to have a chat with them about whether we could collaborate on something. So he arranged his conference call just before Christmas, and he got the people from the OWASP cloud project involved, and I joined the call as well. I think he posted it to our list. At any rate, it looks like we're going to be contributing to one of their documents. In their cloud computing risk document, they've got an information assurance framework. And over the next few months, they're going to try to produce some common assurance metrics. And it looks like we're going to have an opportunity to contribute to that as well. So I thought I'd let you know about that.
Colin, a point on that. The last interaction that I had with the European Parliament was back in 2007, maybe 8, and the head guy, the Greek guy, I don't remember his name, kind of like long surname, fits the Yanis profile, If it's that guy, if you do come across, I don't know who was on the call and so on, but I remember that he was part of ENISA as well. Does the whole description of what I've just said resemble someone? Because in that case, I might dig out a couple of contacts and just ping them. They're based in Brussels, actually. Yeah.
I think I know what you mean. I think it begins with K. I think Sieber knows him, and I think Sieber's sort of still in contact, and so I'm trying to keep Sieber informed as well as to what this other initiative is, yeah.
Okay, so you've got another point of contact there. If you want me to nudge him in an external kind of way, let me know.
Okay, I'll drop you an email afterwards with the contact names that I've got, just so we
cool stuff.
Keep in touch. Okay.
Okay.
I think the other main thing was Tom's comments about how should we be structured. I don't know if anyone's had time to have a sort of look through what Tom wrote. This was a month or two ago. But it also hooks into Owen's has this idea of perhaps doing some closed invite industry outreach type forum things, and he forwarded a couple of documents in one of his emails. Owen's quite keen to get feedback on his idea to the board, and obviously Tom was quite keen on pushing the industry committee further into organisations and arranging us in perhaps either regionally or in sector verticals. Has anyone had a chance to look at any of this?
I'm trying to find the email again now, Colin.
Okay, the one with Tom's stuff was the very first one on this thread,
right
in the foot of my email. And Tom talks about industry outreach, industry injection, and how we should be structured.
Tom, it looks like you forwarded it on the 23rd of December at 10:52. And
yes, that's absolutely great.
Exactly. I mean, I had a look at it, and I think it's, say, on a high-level perspective, it's pretty reasonable to think about, you know, if you want to structure the outreach, that this is a logical step to ask whether you want to have, like, more special industry ideas worldwide or whether you want to have some regional structure first and then have specific topics on it. On a very small scale, you can think of that's a challenge even in Germany, because you know, there are certainly, if you look at legal things, there are things that, you know, you simply cannot discuss in a global context. But on the other hand, at least for me, it would be very challenging to think about having, you know, a lot of different special interest groups in a say, German-speaking environment at the moment, because I think we would need more traction on the regional level. So I think on a putting it into real context, it's really like, do you think to have more traction regionally and then being able to cut it down into industry, or is it more promising to industry people to say, well, I'm in the finance business here in Germany, but I want to be part of a worldwide financial kind of effort. And this is something that I really don't have a final opinion on it. But the only thing that I see is I wouldn't be able to raise too many people, say, in a regional and special interest group. Does it make sense what I say? Like,
yeah,
German-speaking finance only, I think, well, I know 10 guys. Maybe two or three of them would be interested to do something, but then you kind of don't get the traction that you want.
Right, I agree with George, and I think that what Tom was getting at is that within OWASP, we have a number of people that are pretty influential within that particular vertical, and right now we're not leveraging that properly. So I think rather than fragmenting this committee into a bunch of separate regional subcommittees, what we need to do is figure out a good way to engage the people that have the good connections, like in finance, in government, in energy, those sort of industries, more appropriately.
Yeah, so, I mean, I agree. I mean, we should certainly reach within OWASP before we start reaching, you know, outside of our organization. I mean, just the path of least resistance. That said, I mean, I think that probably most people within OWASP may work in different industries, but I guess I would be challenged, and if you guys correct me if I'm wrong, to say that we have, you know, leaders in finance or leaders in other vertical markets within our organization. You know, they may operate within those vertical markets as, you know, as per their employer, but they're really a service line of security within that organization. And I think what maybe Tom is suggesting, and you know, it's a good idea on paper. I don't know how we would necessarily execute it, is that we would somehow reach out to the true leaders in these vertical markets, you know, the C-level.
What are we going to ask them to do? I mean, I completely agree with you, Rick. You know, it's absolutely. And, for example, in the UK, we've taken both approaches, right, with Colin and getting in touch with the guys at GCHQ, which is the equivalent of the NSA, and press certification and so on. taken kind of a closed route to that, and then there's the openness of the meetings that we have and so on. But I would say let's measure this in action, guys. Let's go at it and see who do we have. So if we have gurus in the finance sector, if we have, you know, people with who are respected in, like, I don't know, GitHub or wherever, right? Let's leverage what we can get out of what we can get out of this committee at the moment. I don't know. Is it too early to push for action? What do you guys think?
I think we probably need to. My recommendation would be that we kind of pause and take an assessment as to, you know, what kind of points of contact we have, and kind of the point that I was trying to make earlier is that I'm not sure that we have necessarily close at hand. Points of contact that extend beyond the security realm. We might have people that operate in other verticals, but they're all mostly security people. And I think that the real value comes when we get the leaders within vertical market, not security people, but, you know, the true, you know, faces and names of organizations to recommend us or recommend application security or whatever it may be, and get people outside of the security realm to become involved and speak on our behalf. And that's what I think is
going to take time. Okay, so that's a good objective. So basically, set as an objective to you know, put ourselves out there and then preach about OWASP, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's one thing to get, you know, the Jeremiah Grossmans of the world or, you know, whomever to say, yay, OWASP, and yeah, you guys do a good job. I mean, it's kind of preaching to the choir, right? You know, we need to get, you know, people who aren't necessarily within our realm, you know, to say, yes, you do a good job and what you do is important, so that the people, their peers, will listen to them more than they'll listen to people within our field.
Okay, copy, yeah.
Yeah, Colin, I agree with that. I think there's we've probably got enough on our things to do already with our full-time jobs and what we're already sort of doing with OWASP without having to try to perhaps start managing subcommittees and subgroups and so on. I think I think we've just got to keep our eyes open, because it might be that some groups sort of just appear out of the ether, as it were, and it just seems right at the time that actually a group of people want to get together to do something. I think we should be around to support that. So if, for example, we got a group of people from companies in the energy sector or something that felt they had something they wanted to promote or concentrate on, I think helping them do that would be a good move forward, because the people are already motivated themselves.
Yeah, Colin, I just opened your email with Owen's documents, and I like where he's headed there, and I think that could help us to sort of reach up the ladder, as it were. I think Rex is right. We've got a lot of influential people within the within OWASP already. They probably are C-level, but they are in the security function. I don't know that we're going to be able to attract C-levels outside of IT or outside of security to an OWASP outreach event, but I think Owen's on the right track here with something that's a bit more professional, a bit more formal, a bit less grassroots, if you will. And so I like what I see in that PPT. I think we could get a group of CISOs for like a CISO breakfast type thing to talk about OWASP in that capacity.
Okay, yeah. So, is it worth planning, what we're going to offer these guys, like, you know, the opening moves of the chess game, and say, right, we'll engage with you, and I'm just thinking out loud now, and if you like us, then we can plan a three-hour session, a one-hour, whatever you want it to be, and we can bring in X, Y, Z to do a pitch on this particular field, which might impact energy and so on.
I like that, Yannis. I don't know where we do it other than as a WebEx. You know what I mean? And that sort of defeats the purpose of getting the CISO breakfast thing going and getting people face to face. So I don't know.
I mean, the first thing is to see what we have, right? So who's willing to put us in front of their folks who are not InfoSec people? So we've got to do a little scavenger hunt.
No, I agree, and I think one of the challenges that we faced in the past is that we get excited about efforts like this, and then we go out and we ask people, like, okay, well, who do you know? Who can we reach out to? And maybe we get some good answers, but then we kind of stumble over ourselves trying to get the right kind of materials and approach and strategy in the hands of those people who have those relationships. So I think then the first step is actually to develop the materials, develop a proper slide deck, maybe a one-page strategy brief as to how to approach a C-level person outside of our industry and give them the elevator speech on OWASP to get their interest. And then we ask people, okay, who do you know that is worth talking to? And, by the way, here's the materials, here's everything that you're going to need in order to make that conversation worthwhile. And, in that way we kind of put the horse before the cart, as it were.
Yeah, I think Owen's looking for whether this has got support from people within OWASP. So I think what we're saying is, yes, but putting down some of the foundations first rather than rushing forward too much. I don't know whether Owen's maybe pitching for budget or something later this year. I don't know what the requirements would be.
He's also raised some interesting questions in here about whether having it being an invite-only type of event will rub people the wrong way. But I think to get traction with C-level security people in various industries, it's going to have to be a bit more formal and a bit more professional than perhaps my average chapter meeting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree. I'm more impressed to see how we make this an event. I think the one-on-one is probably the way to start this. I think that if we go out and we, have a breakfast, and in D.C., as I'm sure in all other cities, we have these kind of things all the time. Like, there's an industry breakfast where people interested in one topic or another all get together and they sit there and they listen to somebody lecture about it for an hour while they eat breakfast or whatever it is. And I'll just be honest. I don't think we have the kind of traction to pull that off in most markets.
I agree.
And I think if we start down that road and we have a couple people show up and they're expecting to have 20 people in the room and these people show up and they're just, one of three, they're probably less likely to want to take us seriously to come back.
Right.
Okay. So that's I agree with that. That's a half empty approach, right? So let's think of the top five areas, for example, or industries that we can leverage here. So as an example, what I want to do in 2010 is go to the UK British Computing Society, go to the Institute of Engineering and Technology, go to the key not too far out, so not SCADA related, and not too geeky either, and just get those guys on board. Maybe do a presentation, write an article. I don't know how exactly it's going to pan out. If that's along the realm of what we're thinking, we can give back to Owen and the people behind this idea, kind of say, right, okay, so this is how we approach the following five industries that we thought that we were very strong in. Coming from an academic background, going back to the academic institutes, I don't know who's in finance or what the other strong areas are. So let's identify this and say, have we got like a top 3, 4, 1, 5 list? And who's going to be the primary contact, and then what are we going to pitch them with? Is it worth doing?
I think that's fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
No, I think that's good.
So what are the other industries? So Dennis mentioned developers, for example. I don't think we're ready for that. That's another one. Finance sector is being mentioned here on the phone. Energy, have we got anyone there? What do you guys want to go at?
Well, I think one of the things that we can do is we can identify where realistically, people are less inclined to listen to us unless their arms are being twisted to do so, right? So
yeah.
you know, I think if we focus on industries that have regulations in place that obligate them to pay attention to information security or application security specifically, we have a better chance of reaching out to people who are going to be inclined to listen.
So something like medical, for example.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so like you said, you know, finance, you know, PCI, obviously, you know, they specifically reference us. But there are other aspects of financial industry that are highly regulated, obviously. Government's another one.
Okay, so let's do the following. Let's say what are our top five industries that we can approach because we've got people to approach them with. Right.
And I think one good point to raise here is that we've got a good pre-existing relationship with the PCI Council, but since Portugal, I don't know who's been managing that relationship. I met Troy Leach over there who's on the Security Council, and I don't know who within OWASP is basically nurturing that relationship. And it would be, because we've already got an egg in that basket, it would make a lot of sense to basically focus some energy on keeping that relationship good.
Dave, you just set yourself up, right? That's your answer.
I told you, guys, every time there's an OWASP meeting, I end up with more to-dos.
This is George. My impression was that I think this relationship is quite kept by the ESTEC people. Do you think so?
Well, I don't know.
That was my impression in Portugal, but it's a good question to ask. I mean, that would be my kind of next, good concrete step forward. I would say we should agree on perhaps the five industries and come up with two or three people that we know already, but then really raise that question to maybe the leaders list or to others to really get their input on people they know, you know, that we can approach.
Right.
Like within OWASP, and then people, you know, getting input from the leaders that they know, and then perhaps we get a list of, say, 10 to 15 people per segment of the five segments that we chose. And then that might be kind of good enough to start with, because I'm, as Rex pointed out, I'm a bit skeptical of, you know, whether we have the right connections already. And if you reach out to people, you know, we don't know yet, we have to have a good plan and kind of materials for it.
Right.
So
does it make sense within the industry committee to basically assign each one of the industry committee members to be the designated liaison for the industry or the vertical with which they have the best connections presently?
Well, maybe the story here is, we are regional still. No, my context, I don't have...
Right, that's the problem with a global organization.
Exactly.
I think we're kind of doing what Dave is saying anyway, right? It's happening, but I don't think we're at critical mass to formalize it. And then Colin's going to get a headache because the subcommittees are going to start forming and one person's going to do more than the other.
I think the concept of identify the industry, which I think we've almost done, identify some people to speak to try to keep those relationships going. But I think, Janice, your idea that perhaps once we speak to them, we might be able to identify their own organisations, their sort of sector-specific organisations. And it might be that if we can try to have our, as it were, industry-specific thing at someone else's event or venue or something, then we don't need to worry about the invites and the and who's going along, because the people are already selected for their event. And therefore, we might be able to offer a sort of, you know, one-hour briefing or something in the middle of some other conference or seminar that's already happening, that's already got the right people attending.
Yeah, agreed.
May I just raise another question? When I was reading, I mean, there was maybe I read Tom's email, I think, yesterday. When I was reading it, I also had somehow in mind that he was trying to relate the issue of you know, becoming an important input for OWASP also to some kind of membership things. Like, you know, if you become a corporate member of OWASP, you can actually get a chair on that special interest group or something like that. Did you miss that point, or was it just my impression, or what do you think about it?
I think that was addressed during the summit. I wasn't I wasn't in the room, but I thought that I'd come up for discussion at some point. I don't know what the result was.
It sounds like Brennan, right? Come on.
But it's really in the email somehow. I mean, it's like I mean, if you agree that this is not the right thing to approach people, that's fine for me. I mean, one thing that I can do, okay, that I can invest in, you know, once we agreed on the five kind of important industries, I certainly can chase them in the German list and in the German context, and at least try to find out whether they are interested in something that is more kind of a worldwide approach than opposite to a regional approach. I mean, this is something that I could do, right?
Well, I was just going to say, I agree with that, and I think one of the things that Tom points out, and I think is appropriate, that he kind of recommends a matrix kind of structure as to who, you know, is assigned to what area of interest. So I think we can have, you know, David and I obviously, you know, focusing on the U.S. market. I think the U.S. market is probably open, you know, to anybody talking to them, but, you know, George, I think I'd be hard-pressed to infiltrate the German market, right?
Yeah, maybe. Also,
right. There are a couple of roles that we can leverage here. So here's a... Right, okay, so let's say... okay, George is in Germany, right? So we can say that on the... You know, for we're going to approach academic institutes or institutes that relate to academia. There's one, right? On the finance side, we need to approach that. Government, Rex Dave, sounds like you've got that pinned down. And then, I don't know, guys. What do you want? And that could be our starting point. Let's see what happens in terms of, are we going to get someone swearing at us? Are we going to get, hey, come in and, you know, we've got silverware lined up for you guys. Then let's put out an email to the mailing list. Be careful, by the way, with your OWASP leaders' mailing list, because in some circles it's regarded as spam. So putting an email out there will automatically, you know, not get you invited to Jericho, as an example. So not that we want, but I'm just giving you a living example. And then we can take it from there.
Well, to be honest, I agree with that approach, although I do come back to my earlier concern about putting the cart before the horse and you know, assigning these roles, but not necessarily arming ourselves with the appropriate tools necessary to have these conversations. So I think what we probably do first is kind of standardized, develop a relatively standardized slide deck that's nice and polished that we can present to a wide variety of people that makes our jobs easier when we start to have these conversations.
Okay, let's do that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The first step, yeah, makes complete sense.
I don't think it matters if we have, you know, like a bit of effort, say, in Germany on finance and, you know, government in the US and so on, and that's the way it pans out. Because I think if it looks like the things are working, we might be able to then reuse the same sort of approach.
Especially because a lot of the regulations we're going to be dealing with are international, like PCI.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, guys, let's do it. Yeah. Okay. So what do we need to put together in terms of, getting our arsenal a little bit ready to contact?
We should probably have a chat with Owen. He was always keen to participate in this conversation.
Okay.
Perhaps if we go back to him with our ideas, because it might be that he's willing to coordinate it a bit more, you know, sort of, this is somewhat his baby and things, but we can go back with the sort of comments from our discussion just now. I mean, I'll write something up and run it past you before we send some notes back to Owen, but with our suggestions and, you know, perhaps what we're willing to be able to do.
Yeah.
So just to make it clear, the general idea was that it would be a good first step also to try to participate in other kind of events that are already industry specific. Is that correct? Like, you know, there might be a banking security symposium, whatever, and getting OWASP into that is still a good chance, or do we, you know, the approach of Owen looks like it should be kind of an OWASP event.
Well, I think just getting an OWASP representative at the table at some of the events that are related. For example, PCI Security Council does an annual meeting. The last one was in Las Vegas. A lot of important vendors were there. A lot of important players in the PCI space were there. And I think OWASP would do well to have a seat there. But we need to, like Rex said, we need to have our message straight. We need to have a slide deck that's directed at the right level that doesn't talk all nuts and bolts about stuff before we can get there.
I absolutely agree. So let me just ask you another question. Are we sure about the benefits that we are offering?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
that's a good question. I think that's something that we need to hash out, because I think, you know, from an OWASP perspective, we get rather insular as to what we think is valuable and what we think that what we do, you know, the world should pay attention to. Whereas what we need to do is really understand the industries and the individuals that we're talking to, understand what their needs are, and, you know, develop a value message based on that rather than, you know, what we personally think is good work that we do.
It's a step-by-step approach. We kind of tried it with Colin over here in London. It might be worth literally just spending a minute taking through an example. So there's an organization here in London called CREST that supposedly certifies penetration testing companies. It's kind of a members club only. And I send them an email saying, right, okay, you know, on behalf of the committee, blah, 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 we'd like to attend your conference. This wasn't an even published conference. You know, signed it Dr. Yanis and put a ton of SUSPs and MISPs after it. Got a response back, thank you very much, but you're not going to be able, you know, it's all full, it's all booked, you can't attend. Then a week later, they came back, after some Googling, some searching, someone said, who's all asked what's going on, and they said, right, we'll grant you a couple of places for people to attend. So there's a typical example, Colin attended, and from that, we got in touch with the government sector, the NSA equivalent here, that does kind of commercial testing, government testing. So it's a step-by-step approach.
That's right. It takes a while, but I mean, just building up contacts like that, I think, makes a difference. And perhaps being sort of coming up and saying, well, yes, OWASP is open to, you know, involving with other organizations and it wants to engage. I think if we just been able to get that message out over time will actually help.
Exactly. And there's no, you know, there's no silver bullet to it. For example, these guys came back, they said no, then they said yes, and we got some invites, then it kind of, and it finally worked out. In some cases, it won't. So from a templating perspective, from an arsenal perspective, it was like, hi, it's us. It wasn't anything more than that. Okay, they're biased. They're very close to us. We probably have to gear up something for what Dave is describing, which is, you know, organizations are like, who are these guys? What? Oh, what?
I think as Rex says, having some materials available so that, for example, if CESG come back to us and say, well, yes, we'd like to have a chat with you, could you come and give a presentation about OWASP? It'd be quite good to have something ready, the government slide deck with the right sort of message already there. I mean, obviously it might need to be adjusted at the time.
What's interesting there is that all the, within that organization, all of the foot soldiers, all the guys that actually do the work and do the testing, they know exactly who OWASP is, but none of their bosses do.
Yeah.
So that's the battle that we're fighting now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I'm willing to take away an action here and put together a small set of slides. I think, yeah, we don't need words. And kind of go and dig through other OWASP presentations. To be honest, I'm going to take Dave Wickers and Jeff kind of hinted to me that they've done in the Washington area. It's been successful commercially for them as well, which is, okay, this is what OWASP does, this is the top 10, we're going to give you a hint on this, are there any questions? Do you think putting together something like that for the committee is useful?
I think so, absolutely, Yannis, but before you do that, talk to the education committee guys, because they have something similar for approaching educational, academic entities, and it would probably be easier to tweak that. To be more industry focused than to start from scratch.
Okay.
Honestly, the only thing I would caution is that we keep the deck relatively brief. It's easy to go down the rabbit hole when we talk about everything that OWASP offers because we do offer so much. Mm. So maybe like 10 slides as to look, here's the overview. And leave it open to the individual to enhance it as they see fit if they think that they need to, increase the level of detail based on whom they're specifically talking to.
Okay.
And you may also want to talk to Dan Cornell on the membership committee and see if he's got something short and sweet that you could steal a few slides from as well. Because I think as we approach these kind of groups, getting them to sign up as organizational or institutional members is also a goal of OWASP.
Okay. So where is it worth presenting this? I guess that's the next question. Who is it worth? Who can each of us, like, if there's one organization that each of us can contact tomorrow to help, the goals that all of us have, what organization would each one of us get in touch with?
I'll speak first on that, Yannis, and I've been working on getting the people at the Secure POS Vendor Alliance to speak with me. They are a tightly knit community of people that make basically credit card processing terminals and the software that runs on those. No luck so far, but if I have a bit more perseverance, it would be wonderful to have a nice shiny deck. But that would be my take, and that's spva.org.
So guys, is it worth going around the room and picking an area and just saying, right, we're going to get in touch with XYZ, or find out if we've got a specialist within OWASP that can get in touch with XYZ? What do you think?
I mean, for me, the next closest step to me is that one of my board members is actually working for one of the largest German banks. So for me, it would be still finance sector, but then kind of trying to get some of the German contacts and finding out whether they are really interested in doing something on a not regional but more like worldwide basis or whatever, whatever comes out there. So this guy actually knows OWASP, so I don't need the presentation, but this is the next step. The other thing where I would actually need the presentation and then really have to adopt it to the German language is actually I was invited, end of November, I think, beginning of December, to a kind of, special closed event by kind of German government sector. And I met a guy there who is actually sitting on what is called the kind of, inside of the German, whatever it is, it's not a ministry, but some kind of, government-related, big BSI, Bundeswehr.
Oh yeah, I know them. Yeah, they've got a secure coding standard, haven't they?
Yeah, they have got a lot of things. And there's
guys,
actually a guy.
It's incredible. They've got a secure coding standard which is private to them, and they will not disclose outside their organization. It's amazing.
They're interesting guys anyway. And but there's a I met one of the major kind of one of the most important people in the education security space, and it's same story everywhere. We know that most of the people who worked with them know OWASP quite well, but he didn't. And this is the kind of the next challenge to really make sure that he understands what we are doing. And trying to get them relate to us better than they did in the past.
Okay. So we've got three, right? I've put myself up to contact the educational institutes in the UK. Dave You've got, oh, Dave, by the way, let's chat afterwards, because there's a presentation an ex-colleague of mine did on how to brute force, not physically, ATMs.
Okay.
Up in Cheltenham. So if you want some leverage, we can, and it's kind of public domain. And we've got George who's doing, is it worth going around everyone else and like saying, pick an area and, sign up to it?
I'll work with Dan to reach out to Nick. We've had limited success in the past, but we'll see what we can do this time.
Yep. That would be great. Sorry, go ahead.
Yep. Colin, I think I'll do either someone like the Financial Services Authority or the Information Commissioner's Office, or perhaps there's a sort of cross-parliamentary IT group called URIM, who've got a lot of sort of important members. So something like that, sort of government or sort of finance related, one of those, I think.
Cool, excellent.
But I still think that the best thing really would be to, if you have that group presentation, maybe, if you don't like the overall leaders list anymore, but maybe just give it to other committees then and the board to try to find out to say this is like this is the document that can help you getting out into your contacts. Who do we have at the OWASP board or OWASP committee or OWASP leaders list who is already involved?
So let me do the following. Because I've got on my to-do list to contact the educational committee, Dan Cornell, I'm probably going to dig out a couple of more people from OWASP and say, right, okay, what have you done in terms of an outreach? In the email that I'm going to send to them, which is not going to be a mailing list email, I'll say, right, okay, and also we've picked, these five industries as the first point of contact. And is there anyone that you know in the SSA, or is there anyone that you know in Germany that does the standards, or is there anyone that does anyone in NIST that we can perhaps get in touch with? I'm happy to do that. No, why not? What do you guys think?
I mean, the idea, maybe I'm wrong, but still the idea of the committee, to me, is, it might look still like a team, but not doing everything on our own, right? I mean, this is, if we can only leverage our context, then I think, we should forget about the committee thing. I mean...
Agreed, but we have to start somewhere, George. Yeah,
I agree, and that's that's I think what we, I mean, all the people here in the room say I have done during the last 3 to 4 to 5 years already. But it's important to have a plan how to reach out to the other people.
Okay, so is it? Are we still on in trying this on a small scale and perhaps?
Yes.
Okay.
Trying it on a small scale, trying to leverage the OWASP people and the contact of the OWASP people, and then ideally I would say really, review where we are, because then we have to decide whether we really made progress or not.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I completely agree. Rex, one thing I'd like you to perhaps consider for NIST, which is a genuine question that I've heard back. Coming back, he's like, why are these guys so inconsistent? They'll release one thing and it will be amazing, okay? It'll be like the Bible, and then they'll release another thing. This is infosec related. And it will be, what? What are you on about? Why? So I don't know if it's, from across the pond, a relatively, decent point of view, it's like, well, what's going on, guys? Like, why is it on one side and on the other? Just an idea.
I'll take a first stab at it, Giannis, and my experience with the NIST docos is that a lot of them are too high level to be useful, and a lot of them are just too verbose to be useful, but I haven't had that experience of saying, what are they on about? Like, I've yet to find basically something that I fervently disagree with in a NIST document, but it may be that I haven't dug deep enough.
I was completely... we'll take it offline, but yeah, there was like a couple of things on that password paper on, like, take a hash of your administrator name and the MAC address. Like, what? Serious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's fair. And there may be details. especially in the draft document that may still yet to be worked out. That's why it's obviously what I've done for something. But yeah, if you have specific examples of that, it's not in draft documents, but in final documents, I'd be happy to
Okay, so I think we're coming up to about an hour, so maybe we should try to draw the our call to a close. Does anyone else have anything different to raise that we'd like to do at the moment?
I just want to have your quick opinion. I'm not sure whether everybody saw it on the Overs leaders list. I sent out that kind of question about the lawsuit yesterday. Did you see that?
No.
Okay, there's a lawsuit in San Francisco from one guy that was actually kind of hit by the Rock Hue lethal injection thing a few days ago. And there's a lawsuit going on in San Francisco, and I thought that was interesting because it's, at least as far as I knew, it's kind of the first lawsuit that is not related to credit card data, but just like, SQL injection problem and unencrypted storage of passwords in a really large scale web application that is an advertising application used by Facebook and others.
And I was just
interested. I mean, the mail I put to the overall students list and actually to the industry committee was like asking for, should we have a worldwide overall opinion on that? And because I would like to have some kind of commentary at least into our mailing list here in Germany and perhaps to the outside world that this is really interesting. I mean, it's like, a lawsuit about, some guy hit, maybe lost some personal data through, SQL injection and something that is just really clearly on the OWASP top 10. And you could imagine to have different opinions on that.
Agreed. Where do you think is a good forum to put this up?
I mean, the feedback of Jeff Williams was very clear. We should have, if we do an overall opinion on that, we should have at least a consolidated opinion of, say, the board and the committees. And I just wanted to raise the issue. I know it's like we have only 5 minutes. But this is something, I think that would be a hook, for me to talk to, say, social networks in Germany or whatever, say, there's a lawsuit going on. It's interesting how the American law will actually touch that thing. But this, you could use that information in some, say, some ways or the other to approach people as well. And also, from a German perspective, it's interesting to see that, what are the same legal entities or legal laws that we have actually that could relate to the laws that are actually kind of used in the U.S. and in particular here is the state of some state laws in San Francisco that I don't know about actually that seem to be part of that. So I just wanted to raise the point.
Okay,
I'll definitely read that thread. Yeah.
It looks like Jeff Williams had a pretty good response, being the lawyer that he is. It looks
okay.
Like he summed it up pretty well. I do know that from time to time I do get contacted by reporters covering web app security type cases or stories and ask for comment. And sometimes I give them feedback as security consultants, sometimes I give them feedback as a chapter leader of OWASP. But it would be good to have a formal process for making those kind of opinions and being able to speak to the press as an organization more formally.
And I don't think we have a process.
Now, Jeff says here that he says we can issue public OWASP opinions, but they need to be coordinated through the board and committees so that we can make sure that
exactly.
Any statements we make really reflect the overall consensus of OWASP. So it sounds like the process is you come up with the statement, you send it to the board, and they rubber stamp it, and off we go.
Okay.
I don't think I'd bother sending every opinion through every committee because I think it would take too long.
Yeah, that's exactly. I would do that either. But I thought it's, I mean, for me it's interesting because it's, I'm not that familiar with the laws.
Right, I think that the reason that this particular case is such a big one is that the usernames and passwords aren't a big deal, the email addresses aren't a big deal, but the social networking login is kind of a big deal because people are putting so much out there now in the social networks that they feel like that's PII. So when that gets compromised, people get pissed off.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Well, George, if you want to draft out some little procedure or something and suggest it, we could always forward it up to the board for their next meeting and see what they think about it, just so that we get some sort of plan in place for the future.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, by the way, guys, where's the usual suspect? Where's Brennan?
Was that?
Oh, Brennan.
Tom Brennan?
Oh.
Tom Brennan is,
he's no longer the board point of contact for this.
He's no longer the board contact. Good. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Yep. Dave just sent us an email apologising that he had too much on at lunchtime and it didn't particularly help because I'd arranged this on the same day as their board meeting, so apologies for that. But we don't have too many conference calls, but never mind.
One quick last item, guys. Does anybody on this call object to posting an MP3 of the call to the wiki, just in case people are interested?
We're recording this? No, I don't. I don't object. I'm gonna kill you, but I don't object.
Exactly.
just don't include any video.
Fair enough.
Colin in his pajamas somewhere.
We don't want to know. Yeah, that's right. Why not? I'll write some notes up and I'll run them past people before I forward anything on to Owen, and we can hopefully get some more feedback from him.
Sounds good.
Right.
Okay, good.
Okay, do we have an idea about the next step, actually?
I'll try to write them up in the document. I'll perhaps run it past Yanis first, if that's okay, just to make sure it's semi-reasonable, and then I'll circulate it to the rest of you and see if you think that's all right before we put it anywhere else.
Right.
George,
okay.
Sure. Just some.
Okay.
Saying that you're gonna go and like get in touch with all these people, and now you're saying what's the next step?
No. I thought about, we didn't have a clear decision on that kind of regional thing and special interest thing. I think we just know that we don't really want to do the decision at the moment because we still think we should do a kind of step-by-step approach. And anyway, that's fine for me. I just wanted to, get your idea.
Excellent. When is roughly our next call? Is it going to be Feb? Is it going to be...
Well, going on past experience, it'll be 2011. January,
January.
Well, to be honest, we haven't had too many calls, but I think it's more as we feel we need them. Sometimes just discussion by email, so I don't think it's... I think the project committee used to have them every week almost or something, but... if anyone really wants them regularly, we can do it, but I'd rather sort of do it as needs, if people agree.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's aim for February, if we have more stuff, and we're all online, if we need anything before or later.
Okay.
Yeah, it works.
And thanks, Rex, for Grant Fulton's resources on this one.
Always a pleasure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that. Yeah. Who's getting the bill?
Okay.
Bye guys.
Thanks guys. Bye.
Good night guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.